Blog Talk Radio. Greetings and welcome to Wicked Wednesday in the Basement, live on Ming X Media Group Blog Talk Radio, 98.9 FM. I'm your host, Jazzy J. What a pleasure it is to introduce Grammy Award recording engineer and music pioneer, Carr Glover, for a reflection and discussion on the music industry and the life and legacy of the artist known as Prince. Let's bring him on. Greetings, Carr. How are you this evening? Carr?
So now I don't like you watching that, okay?
All right, we're going to wait for Carr to call back in. I think he had a little bit of a miscommunication there. Someone else was on the phone. But I'm going to wait for Carr Glover to get on the phone. You know how I do it. I'm going to jam for a moment on something else that's on my track here. Yeah, you know, I always keep something waiting in the cups. We're doing things on Prince this evening, so I'm going to go ahead and play a tune of Prince, and may his soul rest in peace. I'm going to wait for Carr Glover to call back in. I think I have him on the phone now.
How you doing, Jazz?
Hey, Carr, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by and returning to share with the audience more about the music industry and the artist Prince. Are you ready?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. All right. Well, Carr, you know, the last time you were here, you shared with the audience how it all got started for you. So today we're going to reflect a little bit about some of the things that are important in the music industry and maybe something that many do not think about. I know we were talking recently, and you were saying a little bit about owning your own master. Can you share a little bit about that with the audience today?
Yeah, sure. I guess a lot of people may not even understand what that term means. Owning your own masters is basically when you go to a studio or you record some material, that you actually leave the studio with that material. And a lot of times if you're quote-unquote assigned artist or signed to a major label or independent label, whatever the case is, the label actually owns those masters because they're actually paying the bill for the studio work. And I think a lot of artists that are not kind of hip to the music industry don't really understand that aspect of it. You know, as a matter of fact, Prince was one of the big advocates of owning your own masters. And I don't know if the audience knows it or not, but, you know, he went through a big thing with Warner Brothers Records trying to get ownership of his own material.
Right. That's when he changed his name. And his became popular at that time in his life.
Right, right. And I think the deal that he had with Warner Brothers is they even actually owned his name, you know,
right,
so he couldn't,
right.
You know, which is kind of, you know, probably strange for a lot of people out there listening that are not in the industry. But, you know, some of the deals that you sign, you really should read the deal, you know, read the contract, because, you know, it may be 30 or 40 or 50 pages long, but, you know, at least have your attorney look at that stuff to, you know, kind of put that in layman's terms so that the average person can kind of understand exactly what they're signing off for.
Wow. You know, sometimes you don't really know all of the ins outs about something that you may think that you really do want to be involved in. So, you know, I think this evening we're going to try to make sure that we make the audience a little bit more aware of just some of the behind the scenes loops and holes that you can fall in this industry. I know I've talked to several artists that tell me that, you know, it's very hard to get in. It's very hard to get your music played on mainstream radio. Blase, blase, blase. Can you share a little insight with the audience as it regards to those issues?
It's the music business is a clique, you know, and you kind of really honestly have to know somebody that's kind of in it to kind of really kind of navigate it. You know, as far as people kind of like walking off the street and, you know, trying to get a record deal, it's very difficult. You know, most of the deals that I've seen come about in my career were usually because you knew somebody who was already kind of in the industry, you know, and they could kind of probably guide whoever it is that's trying to get into the industry into some of the better avenues to take. I remember back in the day, probably when I first got in the industry, the big thing was, well, hey, let me get a demo done, and then I'm going to, you know, send my demo to the record label, and hopefully the A&R person at the label will like my material and give me a deal. And it still can be like that, but that's a rarity these days. Most of the record labels and things like that, you pretty much kind of have to have something going on as an artist even before you approach the record label. And that might include, well, I have 3 million views on YouTube, my YouTube video or whatever the case may be, or I have X amount of listens on Reverb Nation or whatever the case is. Because believe it or not, a lot of record executives, you know, they're paper pushers, you know. I hate to say that, but, you know, a lot of them really don't know what is a hit. You know, they may sign you, well, you sound like so-and-so, or you sound like this person, so I think that can make some money. And that's how a lot of the record execs are. You know, and a lot of the material that is submitted to record labels are usually submitted to labels through somebody who's already on the label or whatever the case may be. And usually those are the ones that tend to kind of, you know, go ahead and fruit some fruit for the artist that's trying to do something in the industry.
Okay, now, you know, I know we have a lot of voice shows and American Idol shows and different shows that individuals are taking in order to break that stigma that is in the music industry. What can you suggest to those individuals as it relates to once you win that award, all of the ins and outs as it relates to you not really owning anything that you're producing at that time?
Yeah, if you go through it through either American Idol, American Idol is no more. I think that was the last season, the season that just passed. But The Voice and so on and shows like that, they tend to be kind of a machine. And what I mean by that is it's like you press go on whatever machine it is that you're using, a car, whatever the case is, and it just runs. So a lot of those people, like American Idol was very good at it. You know, some of the people that end up winning American Idol, you know, went on to be some of our biggest stars that we have out now. You know, for instance, Kelly Clarkson or, you know, whoever it may be. But, yeah, I mean, if you're in a situation like that, you pretty much don't have any control over anything. You know, it's the machine. It's the machine that's making everything run for you. You know, I think later on in their careers, I think Kelly Clarkson eventually signed a deal that wasn't associated with American Idol. But that was probably after she had, you know, probably 5 or 6 number one songs, you know. And at that point, you have a little bit more power or weight in the industry, so you can kind of negotiate better deals and things like that. But a lot of people that win those things, they don't get as much money as probably the public realizes. You know, they think, well, they won American Idol, they're millionaires, and so on and so forth. You know, and usually that's not the case.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've had a couple of artists that I've kind of mentored that I got into The Voice and also American Idol when American Idol was still running. And most of them that come back from that experience say they'll never do that again. You know, because it's just such a rat race, you know, kind of thing, you know. But in the same instance, some of the people that may get to the top, whatever, top 20 or whatever the case is, you know, a lot of those people end up signing record deals and go on to have, you know, very good careers, you know. So, you know, there are a couple of different, you know, aspects you kind of look at, you know, shows like that or talent shows like that.
Right. Well, you know, Atlanta recently held the Funk Fest. Did you have an opportunity to go out and entertain yourself with TLC and some of the others that were on the platform?
No, you know what? I was planning on going to it, but then I had a mutual friend of ours that just started a new band that he was performing the same night. And I've seen TLC and, you know, I've seen all those people perform before. So I thought it was more important for me to go out and kind of support people that are, you know, still trying to, you know, get to that point.
Right.
You know, but, you know, most of those people I've bumped into at some point during my career, you know, or work with them or know them or whatever the case is.
Can you share with the audience a little bit about just how important it is to tour as a musician?
Well, you know, really right now in the music industry, touring is where artists make their money. You know, there's so much music being either given away or via downloads or file sharing or whatever the case is, that that it's hard for them to make money like it used to be, because we used to sell actual hard copies of CDs or even before that cassettes or before that even vinyl records, you know. And with the file thing, you just don't have the opportunity to make that money, you know. So touring becomes very important for the artists out there now, because that's how they're making their living.
Yeah, I know Beyonce fired up Atlanta when she came through here recently. They actually have her coming back for a second show. So.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
That's what it's all about. Well, let's talk a little bit about the artist known as Prince and some of your life experiences while working in the music industry at Paisley Park with George Clinton.
Actually, you know, that was a goal of mine early in my career to, I've always been a Prince fan or whatever the case is, you know, since, I mean, the early, early days.
Right.
And, you know, it had always been one of my kind of goals to, you know, at least do some work with the label. And I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but Prince ended up signing George Clinton. And, you know, I had a chance to work on probably about two or three different records that George had that was actually on the Paisley Park label. One thing I'll say about Paisley Park is they were always, you know, on point on their business, you know. I never had to wait any longer than I was supposed to wait to get my check, you know, and some of the other labels, including major labels, you know, you're like, you know, you have to wait on your check, you know.
And
it could be 30 days or 90 days, you know. But I never had that issue with Paisley Park, you know, and I really, you know, totally enjoyed working with that organization. and absolutely loved working with George Clinton. You know, he was another one of my kind of idols in the industry, you know, before I even had a chance to work with him. You know, George has had so many albums out. I couldn't even tell you how many, over the years. You know,
right.
Probably 30 or something like that, maybe even more than that. But,
When was it when you heard of the death of Prince on April 21st of 2015?
Wow. You know, it really kind of hit me hard. Because, it was almost like a family member. You know, he's been so much a part of, my life as far as just listening to his music, you know. And, you know, it was a total shock because, actually he had did his last show here in Atlanta. And I think he had originally had the shows scheduled for one day, and then he ended up coming up sick and had to postpone the shows.
Right.
And I was just totally shocked, and I guess I'm still not over it. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Prince did a lot for artists. You know, he made people aware of how important it is to own your own material. And if you did any kind of studying of his career, you know, he was kind of giving people a pathway to walk, people that were true artists that wanted to come out of the music business with something to show for it, you know. It really kind of hit me hard. Like I said, I was a fan, first of all. But, I learned a lot from him also. You know, just from following his career and the things that George would tell me about, well, how do we get this sound when we recorded Erotic City or whatever the case is, you know, and, so I learned a lot from George, which all came through, you know, the Paisley Park kind of thing, you know, so, I was devastated, and like I said, still am.
Yeah,
it was
a
great loss for music. Yeah. But one thing I will say, I think people are really starting to realize how much he did influence the music scene as far as the sound of his production and the sound of his work. But not only that, the legal sides of things that he had to go through to, you know, really to get his own name back. You know, if you study, you know, people that have walked the path before you, you tend to be able to walk that path a little bit easier. You know, a lot of the younger artists these days, you know, they think, well, hey, I know it all or whatever the case is, you know. And I'm like, well, I always learn, you know, study the people that did it before you, you know, and try not to make the same mistakes that they made, and that'll help you out in your career.
Well, let's play a Prince tune. We're going to play Purple Rain. How about that?
Okay, one of my favorites.
Purple rain.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Carr, can you share on how much the music industry continues to be a major aspect of your life as owner at Glover
Productions?
Well, I mean, I think I've been in it long enough. It's pretty much a part of who I am now. You know, 25 plus years coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you've been in it that long, it's just a part of who you are. You know, I still continue to do my engineering. I don't get a chance to record as much as I'd like to. The majority of my work these days are mixing songs that people send to me and mastering material that people send to me. As far as the recording side of it, to be honest with you, I'm kind of particular and picky about the people that I choose to record nowadays. Because, you know, I came from kind of old school with real talent, you know, and a lot of the artists these days, you know, it's just not the same quality of talent that you have to choose from out there, you know. You know, I came up with people that really played instruments, and it's not all based in, you know, a computer, or all your music is coming out of a box, you know, a box meaning a computer. You know, so I still enjoy, you know, I still enjoy doing live sound. I still go out on tour occasionally. Last tour I was out with the Bad Brains, who are a founding member of the quote unquote the punk scene. If you haven't checked out the Bad Brains, you know, they're like music icons, and I'm sure within the next few years they'll be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they were innovators, you know, for their sound. But, you know, like I said, you know, I kind of pick and choose the projects that I want to work on as far as recording is concerned. But I'm still open, you know, to mix material that's sent to me and to master material that's sent to me.
Okay.
And I'm always looking for some real artists out there also, you know. So if any real artists out there listening on the air, you know, you think you have something special, you know, please get in contact with me.
Well, Carl, so when you look back, I know you have toured and worked with legends in the music industry. Are there any particular memories you would like to share with us this evening?
Any particular what now? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Memories.
Oh, wow, it's so many. You know, I was just blessed to kind of, you know, kind of run into certain situations. You know, like I said, I did go to engineering school, so I actually have a degree in audio engineering, and that opened up a lot of doors for me. Even though, like I said, at the beginning of my career, I still had to struggle also because you still had to find someone who believed in you. You know. And luckily enough, like I said, Chris Mayfield actually gave me my first internship, you know. So I kind of got the door open for me by a legend in himself, you know. So I think that kind of steered me, you know, to where I am today. As far as memories, oh, wow, there's so many. You know, like I said, I had a chance to record Tupac. That was actually on a Too Short album. You know, Biggie Smalls had a chance to record him, Busta Rhymes. Boyz II Men, Madonna. You know, so it's been so many people, you know, the memories over the years. You know, I can't really pick out one that really stands out or anything like that. You know, I did find that there are a lot of people that I guess once I had a chance to work with them, I kind of even respected them more because not only did I like them as musicians or songwriters or artists or whatever the case were, you know, I also learned, you know, they were good people, you know. And those are the memories that I hold on to as far as my career is concerned. You know, having the chance to work with people that, you know, I was able to build a relationship with, you know, over the years. You know, it's like George Clinton. You know, even to this day, you know, when George is in town, I'm always at the backstage door, say, hey, George, you know, hey, come on in the show, you know. So it's kind of things like that 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 I keep personal memories about, you know. You know, also the TLC stuff, you know, like I said, I love those three girls to death, you know, even though Lisa's not here anymore. Right. You know, so it's just been so many, you know. I really can't say one in particular that really stands out. It's just been so many magical kind of moments, you know, during my career. You know, and I just thank God for giving me the opportunity, you know, to make a living doing what I love to do.
Well, we thank you so much for allowing us to have the opportunity to share your wisdom and your experiences with our audience. So let's talk a little bit about the track that we're going to play, Freedom.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about it before we play it.
Okay, that's the Freedom that ended up being the Black Panther, I think it was a Panther soundtrack. And we actually recorded that song originally on an artist by the name of Joy, who's still out doing her thing today. I love Joy to death also. I think after we had recorded, and it was actually released on her album, I think it was picked up for the film. And then we had some more artists to come in, which included Queen Latifah. I mean, it was everybody. It was like the who's who of hip-hop at that time. Queen Latifah, MC Light, just so many different people. And that actually ended up being the soundtrack to the Panther movie.
All right, well, let's play it and check it out.
Okay.
No unity, no power. White power for white people. Black power for black people. 1967. The Black Panther Party. The movement. Freedom.
Let's talk about freedom.
We will not bow down to racism. We will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation. I'm gonna stay.
Your people try to see how
saying freedom.
That's
a powerful message that's being delivered on the tune and on the lyrics of that song. So thank you for sharing that.
Dallas Austin track. I had to give Dallas his props on that one.
Well,
yeah, but go ahead.
Tell the audience how to reach you, Carl.
Honestly, probably the easiest way to reach me, I'm very accessible on Facebook. You can send me a friend request, just Carl Glover. You can also reach me via email at cvg27a@yahoo.com. That's my personal email. So easier to get me on Facebook, I can send you whatever contact information, once you reach out to me.
Well, Carl, any final words of wisdom for the audience this evening?
I could say a couple of things. If you have a dream, follow it. The most important thing is, you have to see it to achieve it. If you can see it in your mind's eye, it's just like climbing a ladder. You just take one step at a time until you get to where you saw yourself being. And it's not impossible. I did it. It just takes a little work, a little dedication, and some sacrifice.
Well, Carl, we thank you again for hanging out, reflecting on the music industry and your life as a Grammy Award-winning recording engineer.
Thank you very much, Jazz, for having me.
And we hope to have you back on the show real soon.
Bring you back on periodically
and just have you share some things that you're doing or in your life and maybe some things that you just like to talk about.
Okay, that sounds great to me. I enjoy talking to you.
All right, Carl. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and I will definitely be in touch. I'm going to say goodbye for now.
Okay, then. You have a good day, and enjoy your evening also.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining me today for Wicked Wednesday in the Basement. Live on Ming X Media Group Blog Talk Radio, 98.9 FM, keeping it real in the streets 24/7. I'm your host, Jazzy J. Until then, keep God first in your life.